Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Your Next Mission, a new program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. We have a great show for you today. We're going to focus on military transition and also have a couple of stories for you, including one from our guest, Vera Steiner-Bloor, on how she and her family handled their transition. Now, before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happens. They love, and there's no question about that, they love our veterans and families. As I mentioned today, the theme is about military transition. And I'm so excited to introduce Ms. Vera Steiner-Bloor, Executive Career Consultant, Military Spouse, Transition Expert, and author of Success in Your New Mission, a guide for senior military leaders in transition. And welcome, Vera, and great to have you on the podcast.
Hey, Sergeant Major, it's great to be with you today.
Well, it's great to be with you, too. Well, you know, we can't wait to hear about your book, Success in Your New Mission, and all the things that you've learned about transition from military to civilian life. But before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Of course. You know, I'm really a passionate advocate for service members and military spouses who are getting ready to reintegrate into civilian life. For the past 10 years, I have been focused on this issue. I've been writing about it. I've been leading workshops and working with individual service members as they go through this journey. And it's just something that's very near and dear to my heart. So I'm delighted to be here today talking with you about it.
Now, we're delighted to have you on the show. There's no question about that. Vera, why did you know, I don't know if you know this, but I wrote a book. But why did you decide to write a book about transition from military to civilian life? I mean, you just don't pop up all at once. You must have some thoughts about this for a while.
Yeah, you know, back in 2014, I decided to release the first edition of this book. Largely because I was struck by a dear friend and colleague of ours who took his uniform off for the last time and sadly retreated to his basement for many years. And he couldn't really figure out who he was after he took the uniform off. And that I knew from watching him and trying to help him at the time that he wasn't the only one going through this. But at that time, very few people were willing to openly acknowledge that transition can be a complex thing. So I began to talk to other veterans and decided I was going to write a book about it. And this past spring, in March of this year, I decided to release the second edition of the book, which is significantly updated, includes some information about how this transition has been impacted by the pandemic. And I've also built in a new chapter for military spouses.
So. Yeah, well, that's, you know, it's really fun. Before we get to, I got a couple more questions here, but before you get that, I know that I had a little bit of problem myself when I got out of the service, just sort of fitting in. It's really hard. I mean, everybody has different problems, you know, trying to fit into the transition process. But what do you think makes the transition from military life to so challenging for so many people? It was challenging for me. It took me probably a year to sort of fit in there. But why do you think it's so hard?
Sergeant Major, I think you've really hit the nail on the head here. The fact is that transition is about so much more than getting a job. It really is about figuring out who you are when you take the uniform off, a new sense of purpose, and critically, as you talked about, a new place to belong, right? You're so integrated into the military family. And when we get out, it has a huge impact. And we really have to figure out a new place for us. Where do we fit? What's our new purpose? How do we take this forward? So I think that that's a major factor. And I also think another challenge is, you know, the services spend so many years grooming and teaching and guiding its members to become military leaders. Mm-hmm. And then the time comes as transition approaches and there, you know, it's just a few days that's focused on trying to help the service member figure out what comes next. It shouldn't be surprising that so many people leave and really don't feel prepared for this next journey.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I know I worked up, we'll talk about this in a while, but I worked up to the last day. And I think a lot of people do the same thing. They work up to the last day and they don't really think about getting out. And I never thought about getting out. So it's tough. It's tough because you don't feel. One thing I want to ask you real quick is how important do you think is having a mentor, somebody to sort of guide you through that process? You know, we go to different military installations. We have mentors or somebody that coaches you into that installation. Do you think that's important?
I think it's essential. There's no question about it. In fact, based on many conversations that I've had with veterans over the years, mentors, people who serve as sounding boards for you throughout this process are there to help you see that the roller coaster ride of this transition is completely normal. Mm-hmm. And having somebody you trust and can confide in and who can guide you is an essential part of the process. People should not hesitate to reach out and have one or two or maybe more mentors in their lives who are people they really can lean on during this journey. Yeah, absolutely.
It's really funny here. I had a couple of lieutenant generals that called me and say, look, Sergeant Major, would you help me out here a little bit in my transition? I say, wait a minute now. Come on, you get some of those officers to help you. But it doesn't matter what rank you are.
That's
you know,
right.
When you get out there and you start transitioning and getting out of the service, you know, there's a lot of people that do a lot of different things. So it doesn't matter if you're a four-star or a private, you can help each other out because it's a very small family that we live in.
Exactly.
And each one of us, you know, I'm sure we all love the veterans. We love our family members. We love everything they do, but it's all about helping each other to be successful. And that's important to me. And I know it's important to you. We're talking with Ms. Vera Steiner-Bohra about military transition. Hope I didn't mess that name up. And listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. I like to focus on a different part of the discussion and in the process of transition. In your book, you talk a lot about the process of transition and how something the veterans and military spouses and families experience together. Can you elaborate on why it's so important to really get the whole family involved?
Absolutely. You know, just as during active duty life, where it's the entire family that is picking up and relocating, this transition journey is something that is experienced by the whole family. And this isn't just a transfer to another duty assignment. This is a significant milestone in the family's life, both for the family as a unit and also for the service member, the transitioning service member, and for the spouse, right? So because of potential stress during this period, it's really, really important that there is ongoing and open communication between the transitioning service member and the spouse. Talk about your individual as well as your shared aspirations for what comes next.
Vera, you go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, many military spouses find themselves putting their own career aspirations on hold. Mm-hmm. During active duty life. Some are working, and I'd love to talk a little bit more about that, maintaining a career on the move while they are still active duty. But once the transition journey begins, this may be the opportunity where the spouse's career pathway takes priority. And this is something that has to be discussed and agreed upon together, right? So that's what's so important during this period of transition, that you are on the same page, that you listen to each other, that you anticipate roles might change within the household.
There's no question they change. Yeah.
Either temporarily or in some cases permanently. But having that dialogue and recognizing you're in this together, it isn't just one of you going through this, you're going through this together as a unit.
Yeah. You know, so I got to tell you a quick story here. When I was getting out of the service, one is, remember this, when should you start that process? I always thought you should start it about 2 years out. But anyway, I got to tell you a story about my wife. So I got out of the service and I says, hey, look, Gloria, when I get out of the service, I'm going to be frustrated, a little irritated. You know, I spent 36 years in the service, you know, so I want you to fully understand exactly what, you know, what's going on there. And so, you know, I'm going to be a little angry and so please listen to me. And she says, well, let me tell you something. I was in the service 36 years and I'm going to be a little frustrated and a little irritated. And so I want you to make sure that you understand. So she threw it right back on me. And so it was so funny. In fact, she was right. You know, she was right. A minute ago, I asked you about, when should you start that transition process?
Well, you know, ideally, we do encourage people to think about it a couple of years out. But as you pointed out earlier, many people, even though they hear that advice, they do wait till the last minute. There's this sense of loyalty to the service, especially for senior leaders. And, you know, they feel obligated to work right until the very last moment. And certainly we appreciate and respect their commitment to their service, but at some point, they have to begin setting aside some time for themselves and for those conversations with their families so they can begin to get their head in the game about this. Because again, this transition isn't about just about getting a job. It's about, you know, really preparing yourself and your heart for this major step away from what you have known and lived and breathed and committed yourself to for your career.
Yeah.
So that takes time. That does not happen overnight.
Yeah. I think senior military leaders, and I'm glad you talked about a lot about senior military leaders, but senior military leaders are probably the worst ones because they're so focused. They're so focused on getting out of the but they're so focused on doing their job. And really, quite frankly, most of them think, I don't think you can get it done without me. So they want to stay there to the last minute. But the answer is what you just said. You have to get out too, and you have to process, and you got to make sure you take care of your family. You know, just like my wife, she said you had 1.3 million people behind you helping you out. And now when you retire, you don't have anybody but me. So, you know, I know it's important. Hey, Vera, military spouses faced many career challenges as their partners are, you know, continually being reassigned while they're on active duty. What can they do to strengthen their skill sets and remain not only competitive, but available within the workforce, both during and after their family really disconnects or retires from the military?
You know, that's a great question, Sergeant Major. And I have to say that military spouses, whether they have worked out of home or if they have worked outside the home, have a set of skills that are so valued in the workplace. Their organizational skills, planning, budgeting, networking. Every time that they relocate with their family, they are out, you know, meeting new people, connecting, making connections for the whole family. These skills are essential in the workplace. So in addition to any technical skills that they bring forward, they really need to remember that they have this other set of skills that some people call them soft skills, but that shouldn't minimize them in any way. It's just, you know, their ability to communicate, make quick decisions, get ready. You know, they're adaptable, for heaven's sakes, right? So taking all of those skills, taking stock of all those skills they have and have used throughout military life and packaging them in a way that shows employers, I can do that. I can do it in this industry. I can do it in that industry. Those pieces are really important. I also think the pandemic has brought home a lesson that many jobs that weren't allowed to be performed remotely before, there are now an increasing number of jobs that can be done remotely as well. So whether you're still active duty or whether you are going to be getting out, those remote opportunities are available to you. And many of them, there are new opportunities in the IT field and, you know, computer coding and so on that are well-paying jobs. These should not be overlooked. So I think that the future is very bright for military spouses. I think that it's just a question of being able to talk about the skills that you bring forward and the ability to reinvent and adapt and show employers that you've got what they want.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing good that came out of the pandemic. However, I think our country really adjusted very quickly about doing webinars and communicating on the internet and all that other stuff. And I think the way we do business in this country has changed forever. I don't think everybody's going to go back into a building. I think people that own a business, I own a small business, but I think all the guys that work with me, they all work out of their homes and they travel and they just send me their invoices at the end of the month. So I think that's the way of the seeable future, I think.
I think that's spot on. And I think it's also really highlighted that every one of us, regardless of our age, you know, needs to be tech savvy, comfortable with presenting ourselves online. It's why I incorporated some tips and strategies into the book about video interviewing, because initially people might have been uncomfortable with it, but there are going to be many employers who continue to interview job candidates that way. And we have to get comfortable presenting ourselves on camera because it may be the only way we meet a prospective employer. We have to be able to put our best foot forward in whatever format works for the employer.
You may be thinking something. Dress for success as you go there. Just like any board or anything you ever did when in the military, it's the same thing. You go there, you present yourself, and you really what you're doing is you're selling yourself to your employer. And that's what you want to do. But don't forget, there's people out there that that want to help you. There's no question about that. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Your Next Mission Podcast.
This Your Next Mission Podcast is made possible by The Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union. The most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley, and we're blessed to be here today with Ms. Vera Steiner-Bloor. We're at one of my favorite parts of the podcast, where we get to hear from our guest, Vera Steiner-Bloor, about her family's transition. So, Vera, tell us about your family's transition.
Well, Sergeant Major, this is a true confession here.
A confession. Okay, I'm ready for that.
It's a true confession. When we learned that we were going to be stepping away from military life, the shock was that I was the one who, for about 6 months, couldn't figure out how to put one foot in front of the other. And this was in spite of the fact that I had transitioned my own professional career 9 times over the course of our married military life together. I knew how to interview. I knew how to adapt and be flexible and bring my skills forward. And for some reason, I just could not figure out why this was so different for me. My husband went off. He got a job. No problem for him. But I was the one who got stuck. And it really was what made me continue to want to talk to other people. And this was one of those points where I realized you can't do this in isolation. Even though today there are so many more resources out there to help veterans and military spouses in what comes next. At the time, there were a lot of senior leaders and their families who were very reluctant to openly acknowledge this could be challenging. I mean, after all, you're a leader. Why are you having trouble with this? But the reality was I was having some trouble with it. And I realized the more I began to have conversations with people about what was going on, what I was feeling about the process, the easier it became. And the better I felt that I wasn't the only one kind of navigating this journey, and it, that it was a little bumpy for me. So it's very personal for me. This work is very personal for me because I have walked this walk, not as a veteran, but as a military spouse. So I understand where people are coming from, but that's our story.
Just real quick question here. Did you have somebody that was a mentor for you? Somebody that you talked to?
I have several mentors in my life. Absolutely. I've had a mentor who has been there for me for the past 20 years. Who is not in the veteran transition space, but then I have other mentors in this transition space who also have been wonderful guides for me throughout my career, you know, really throughout this process. So absolutely. I don't think I'd be where I am today without mentors at my side.
Yeah, I think everybody needs a mentor. Vera, thank you so much for sharing your story. That's really important. What you do is important to help our military families, and God bless you for what you do in each and every day of life. I was thinking about something. There's a lot of people that talk about taking care of veterans, but somebody like you is not talking about it. You're doing it. So God bless you and keep up the great work. I want all our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. Tell us about what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. I'll actually call you back or email you back or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast. I'm Jack L. Tilly, 12th Sergeant Major in Army. We're talking with Ms. Vera Steiner-Bohr, author of Success in Your Next Mission, a guide for senior military leaders in transition. We're heading into a final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I just have a few more questions. Vera, you also highlighted the importance of broadly about one's options when planning for the future. Many people immediately target the private sector when they get out of the service. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, that was really, it's a key part of the second edition of my book, because all too often, I think service members leave active duty and they say to themselves, okay, now's time for me to make some good money. And they see the private sector as really their only option to find happiness, to find financial, you know, decent financial compensation. I don't believe that every transitioning service member is a great fit or an automatic fit for the private sector. Mm-hmm. They've been focused on defense of the nation, homeland security, and now you're coming into an environment where the mission becomes the company's bottom line. That's not a great fit for everyone. It's a wonderful fit for some, but mm-hmm. not for everyone. I think people need to think more broadly when they consider their options and they're getting out of this service. Think about if you want to continue in public service, local, state, or federal government, there's so many different, you know, agencies and avenues to pursue. The nonprofit sector has a lot of rewarding career paths. And you can even work in academia, whether you're as an instructor or whether you're working in the operations and administration side of academia. But service members bring so many talents forward. Don't make the assumption that the private sector is the only pathway for you. Talk to other people you know who are out there doing this work. You know, people talk about the importance of networking. We can't emphasize that enough. You need to get some sense from talking with others to understand what do they love about their jobs? What do they dislike about their jobs? Try and learn from other people's pathways. I think that's so important. But just recognize at the outset, there are a lot of different pathways you can go. And even my book cover reflects that. So
did your spouse know what he was going to do when he was getting out of the service? Did he have any idea?
He did. He definitely is a public service kind of guy. And that was a pathway he knew. He knew that about himself early on. So that's the path that he pursued.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny when you say that. I had no earthly idea. I remember working up until the last day in the Pentagon, and they called me back, said, "Hey, would you go to this meeting?" I said, "Yeah, I'd already had my bags packed. I was ready to go." But you never, it was funny. I worked for a small business for a while, really probably 4 or 5 months, and then realized I didn't want to work for anybody. I want to work for myself. So it's, everybody's different, and you just got to, you got to figure out where you fit in and what you want to do. And sometimes, not sometimes, all, I don't think it's about money. I think it's about what you enjoy doing, because life's too short.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. This is about finding fulfillment in your life. And don't make the assumption that it's all about the money, because I know some senior leaders who took private sector jobs with huge compensation packages who were totally miserable because their skill sets weren't really being fully used. They didn't find fulfillment at all from the work they were doing. Some do, but some don't. So don't make the assumption that money alone is going to make you happy.
You know, I got,
it won't.
I shouldn't tell a joke, but I'll tell you a joke. I had a friend of mine that told me this story the other years ago. He said that they had this older fellow was getting ready to pass away, and he told his wife, he said, "Look," he said, "when I die, I want you to take all my money and put it in my coffin." And I guess he's a pretty wealthy guy. And so when he passed away, she wrote him a check and put it in his coffin. So I guess I guess that worked. I guess that worked out pretty good for everybody. Yeah,
I love it.
You know, are there any final thoughts you want to share with the audience? You know, about transition. Anything you really have maybe forgot about or want to share?
Well, you know, again, I think we've touched on some of the key points. Don't do this alone. Go out there, find yourself a mentor or two. Reach out to people, former colleagues, friends, people you know. Network, because that's going to be how you find your next opportunity. And ask them what it's like to work in those fields. Ask them about their own transition, right? Ask them, what would you do differently if you knew then what you know now?
Yeah.
And that will really help guide you.
Yeah. If what I knew, I would have been a millionaire when I was a lot younger. No, I wish. I wish. One last question for you. How does the audience get a copy of your book, Success in Your Next Mission? How would I get a copy?
So just to clarify, it's Success in Your New Mission.
Did I say next mission? I messed it up. Success in Your New Mission.
Your New Mission.
I told Ted when we started this, I said, I know I'm going to say next because it's your next mission. So new mission.
Exactly. It's Success in Your New Mission. Yep. And the second edition is available on Amazon. It's got a beautiful blue and red cover. So I hope your listeners will pick up a copy. I think they'll find some really useful tips and strategies inside.
Well, Vera, I've said it once and I'll probably say it 1,000 times. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you do and what you continue to do. And again, thanks to Vera Steinerbohr for being on our podcast and really taking the time, because it's people like you that make a difference in our country and make a difference in our veterans. So God bless you for each and every day. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army, and you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast. Thank you for listening today. And please visit us on our website, yournextmission.org, and leave me a review. Hopefully it's a good review. I don't want no bad reviews. You can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. Also, please visit our corporate partners and see what kind of jobs they have available for you. Please know we want to assist you in any way that we can. Please follow us on social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Thanks again, Vera Steinerbohr, for being with us today. It was a great pleasure having you on the podcast. And don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please send me a message or send me a text, 844-424-1134, or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. I want to end each podcast with a little story about me. I love talking about me, but I think today I'm just going to say what Vera said. There's a lot of senior non-commissioned officers and officers out there that do a tremendous job for our country that, a lot of people don't realize the kind of things that they do. And so I just ask those senior leaders, if you're listening, take care of yourself. Make sure you prepare your family to get out of the service. There's a lot of people out there that love you and they want to take care of you. They want to do all that you can. Remember that everybody goes in and they come out at the other end. There's life after the military. Don't forget about that. So again, God bless you for what you do and what you continue to do for our country. And never forget, you're not in this by yourself. Thanks to Cloudcast Media and, of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, and Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do and continue to do for our veterans. See you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.